Hi, and welcome to That's My Purse Pod, the podcast all about King of the Hill. I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
So, Jimmy, what's going on? Actually, you have an announcement of sorts on a podcast, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm starting my... Well, it's kind of a relaunch, rebranding, re-rising of an old podcast I used to do. So, I'm starting a podcast, and Jason's going to be on it. It's called Anime Bento. We are going to launch in October, but there's already a little trailer up if you want to listen to it. It's currently on Spotify. I'm trying to figure out how to get it on other places. I don't know. But yeah, so it's going to be cool. So you'll hear Jason on, and I have other few friends who are going to be rotating, and we'll just be talking about a lot of different anime.
Is it anime or animes? I always wonder what the plural is for it. I've never figured that out. Maybe it's both.
Oh, I don't know now.
I legit have no idea. I always thought, like, it feels like it's one of those things where I feel like both words work, but I'm not sure.
I feel like it's, yeah, it's like one of those things where, like, both work just because it's like we've accepted it. It's become part of the culture, but, like, there is a real way of saying it. I feel like you're like a lot of animes. And now anime sounds wrong.
I mean, I could see it working, though, because it doesn't sound terrible. And the S, you know, adding an S for plurality doesn't seem bad. But then it's also like fish. Fish can be singular or plural, so who knows?
This is true. So maybe just it's anime. But, yeah, so check it out, everyone. If you love hearing my voice, so jump over in October. And love to have you. Love to talk about anime.
I love how podcasting is becoming more and more of a thing, and the barriers were never super high for podcasting, but they've definitely come down. And if you just kind of look at world history, maybe not necessarily world history, but modern entertainment history, I'm going to give you all a history lesson here, a very brief and probably an accurate one. But you know, there, you look at, like, say, music or whatever. Music was definitely gatekept by record industries, record stores, and radio stations. If you couldn't get airplay, if you couldn't get your album on a shelf or something like that, you were not going to be successful at all. Maybe if you were incredibly, incredibly, incredibly lucky that it would work out, but otherwise it wouldn't. Now with things like Spotify and SoundCloud and whatever else is out there, it's pretty easy to distribute your audio to other people, and it's kind of cool that people are able to kind of create their own radio shows, in a sense, and there's some that just kind of started out as a hobby and became a big thing later.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like everyone should have their... I don't know, not everyone should have their own podcast, but I do think, like, it's a cool way to kind of get your opinions out there. It's a great way to, like, connect with your friends, kind of do some kind of fun project together. As long as you're having fun, I think, you know, go ahead and do it, you know? If it's like a passion project or whatnot, you know, go upload it. I mean, I found it very easy to set up, you know? And there's so many tools now.
Indeed. And a lot of them are low cost, so to say. I mean, there's free stuff out there too, but even the paid stuff is pretty low cost.
Oh yeah, like the software we record on, it's amazing. Jason recommended it to me, and we record on it, so I knew it's good, but it really helps, like, help me edit stuff, so I'm excited. Yeah, so that's kind of my new news. What about you? Anything new this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's always the same thing. It's just a lot of work, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I've been playing... It's always me playing games, isn't it? I've been playing Donkey Kong Bonanza, which is really cool, because I think... I'm not big into the Donkey Kong games, historically speaking. When I was a kid, I was all about Donkey Kong Country. One of my favorite SNES games of all time is Donkey Kong Country 2, Diddy's Kong Quest. But, like, other Donkey Kong games, I've been kind of tepid towards. And most of them have been side-scrollers, except for, I think, Donkey Kong 64, which I never really played anyway. But it's cool to have like a full kind of open world Donkey Kong game.
Oh wow, open world? Like, so is it like Zelda-esque in your play?
It's open world-ish. It's open world-ish, I should say. Like, I'm wondering if there's going to be a lawsuit or something, because they're clearly stealing some from King Kong or whatever. So in this game, Donkey Kong, it's kind of the Hollow Earth theory. So Donkey Kong and Pauline fall into the planet, and they're just gradually going down layer to layer. But, you know, it's not solid rock like you would think it would be. It's like there's a forest world in one layer of the earth, and then there's a crystal world, and there is even like a racetrack world and whatnot. So it's kind of level based, but also not really level based, because there's not like a hub world kind of thing. There's not a world map. So it's a little different.
Interesting. I might have to give it a check. I might have to check it out. It's on the Switch?
Switch 2.
Oh, only Switch 2?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's exclusive.
Well, I'm out. Well, I need a Switch 2 eventually. So, we'll see. Maybe Switch 2 is in my future. I don't know. I just spent a lot of money on some concert tickets. So, there's that. So, but I don't know. Wait, how long have you had a Switch 2?
I got it shortly after it came out. One of my friends was fortunate enough to find one for me and himself. And so he just shared it with me and... Or not shared it with me. He sent it to me. I sent him the money and that was that.
Nice. Okay. I might have to... I've been thinking about getting one. The new Pokemon game's going to come out soon. It's on both platforms, but it might be nicer. My Switch is still... I don't know if you remember this one, but when the original Switch came out, they came out with a Pikachu Eevee edition for Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee.
I have it, yeah.
That's my Switch. That's the only, like, that's the only one I have. So, it's kind of old.
Well, I have the game, not the Switch, I should say. I have, like, the regular old out-of-the-box Switch, not a special one. But I do have the Eevee game.
Yeah, I always try to get the... I always try to wait until, like, the Pokemon edition of the console. Because Nintendo usually does a Pokemon edition of the console. But I was like, they didn't do one for this, the new Legends game. So I might just have to get a regular Switch too. But we'll see. But maybe next week I'll be like, I got a Switch too, everyone.
It is pretty fun. It does have more power than the first Switch, which is what you expect. It doesn't have as much power as, say, the PlayStation 5, but honestly, I don't think that's ever been Nintendo's goal, or at least not since maybe the N64 or GameCube. I think Nintendo's been focused more on, like, appealing to a wider audience, more so than having powerful hardware.
Yeah, I always felt the Switch was, or I always felt Nintendo did its best, and not that the Switch is just a handheld game, but or a handheld console, but Nintendo does its best with handheld. And just, like, stuff you can play on the go and, like, that. And then they got such powerful IP, so they're not worried.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it's fair to say that Super Mario is not even the most recognized video game character, but probably one of the most recognized brands out there. Like, I think somebody could have never played a Mario game in their life and they know who Super Mario is.
I mean, they got Mario. They have Pokemon. Like, is Zelda's exclusive, Nintendo exclusive too, right?
Yep, and Kirby.
Kirby, yeah, there's so much. So, Nintendo's, what they do have is high value.
I agree. Nintendo does that very well. And, fun fact, I mean, I think now it's kind of more common knowledge, so maybe people are like, yeah, we already know that, but Nintendo is well over 100 years old.
Nintendo's 100 years old?
Yep.
What?
Yeah, it used to be a like a trading card company back in like the late 1800s.
And it was called Nintendo?
Yep.
Wow. Now I'm curious. Trading card? You said in the 1800s?
Yeah, like 1890, something like that.
1890? What were they trading?
I mean, it was like these playing cards. I mean, playing cards of different kinds have existed for... I don't know how many hundreds of years now.
I just imagine people in the 1890s being like, I got a Charizard.
Yeah, you can find them online, like, pictures of it. So they've been around for a while, and then they decided to jump into the video game world in the 80s and did so very successfully. In fact, we can say that Nintendo, I think it's very fair to say, and most historians might agree with it, is that Nintendo saved the video game industry, because the video game industry pretty close to died in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, oh wow. I'm looking at the cards right now. Okay, they're really pretty. And they're like the Japanese like playing cards. I don't know, does that make sense when I don't know how to explain it. But they have, like, pictures on it instead of, like, numbers and suits.
Yeah, it's almost as if it's, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's, like, early stage Yu-Gi-Oh cards, if you will. Or Pokemon cards.
Man, that's pretty cool. I did not know that. Some interesting Nintendo facts. Gotta save that for whenever I do trivia.
Yeah, I feel like now it's one of those things that more and more people know, but a lot of people don't realize it's been around for over 100 years.
Wow, that's insane. Oh, wow. Well, I knew Mario was old, but I didn't know it was that old. Or not Mario, but Nintendo.
Yeah.
Wow. We learn something every day, everyone.
Yes, indeed. And I guess it's kind of full circle because now they make cards again, but like Pokemon cards.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't know. I'm curious how much a cut... How much did Nintendo invest into Pokemon?
I don't know. So it's like, it's co-owned by Game Freak and Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
Or is it one of those things where Nintendo owns the IP, but Game Freak is like the exclusive publisher or something? I don't know.
Huh. That's interesting. I bet, well, I'm sure Nintendo funded the whole project in the beginning, so they own probably a majority of everything.
Okay, so it looks like, according to what I'm seeing here, it's owned three ways between Nintendo, Game Freak, and Creatures Inc. Mm. It looks like Game Freak makes the video games and creates the Pokemon designs. Nintendo is the distributor of merchandise and games. And then Creatures Inc. makes the trading card game as well as toys.
I wonder how that started. I wonder if it's an even three-way split.
Maybe.
Nah, it can't be. I feel like some of those things make more than others.
Nintendo probably owns the vast majority of it.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was like a 50-25-25. Or even less than that. Facts. Interesting facts.
You know who probably doesn't care for Pokemon is Hank Hill.
I don't know. I feel like he would find a way to use the Pokemon's powers to like help him. Like, I don't know. What would be a Hank Hill Pokemon?
I'm not sure.
Who would he be his buddy?
If there was, like, Propaneon or whatever, then that'd probably be it.
Propaneon?
Sure, I can use, like, Gemini or ChatGPT or one of those to generate one.
But yeah, well, we'll see. Maybe he will get a Pokemon. I haven't seen the rest of the season, so maybe he does get a bird of Pokemon. A crossover.
The crossover we've all been waiting for.
I mean, they crossovered with Fortnite, so...
Yeah, that's true.
Nothing is off limits.
Well, let's jump into this episode and talk about something else that Hank likes that's not necessarily Pokemon. So this episode is Any Given Hill Day, which is kind of a pun or play on Any Given Sunday. So you can kind of piece together that this is going to be a very football-heavy episode. And I always say I enjoy the episodes. I enjoy King of the Hill in general. This one had a few moments that I feel like would never have happened in the original Fox run, but happened in this episode, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. So the episode starts at Robotic Chain, and there's this customer named Peter who just really loves the restaurant. He's going on about how much he likes the food, and you know, Bobby's getting ready to cook him a meal. He's sipping on his beer, and I like how the customer's like, last time the Germans and the Japanese teamed up, I wasn't a fan, but this is delicious. And I like Bobby's response of, I call it an axis of flavor. Which I guess is enough time has passed to where we can make World War II jokes.
I think so. I feel like it's appropriate. I definitely, like, Just like this whole episode had me like laughing out loud. Like as soon as that joke hit, I was like cracking up.
Yes. Well, Peter mentions that he has been smelling burnt toast, and he's been smelling it for the past week, and Bobby's like, maybe you should get that checked out, and he's like, nah, I feel fine, and then it immediately cuts over to his funeral, which apparently, I had to Google it, because I wasn't sure, but apparently that, it could be the sign of a lot of different things, but one common one is a stroke, so maybe that's what got him. They never really say exactly what killed him, but that's kind of implied. So, at the funeral, Bobby is kind of going through the program, and he realizes that Peter was the same age as Hank, more or less. He liked football, grilling steaks, and taking care of his lawn, so it seemed like he was a mirror image of Hank. Willow is there with him, so apparently Bobby and Willow are dating, and Willow's like, oh, I love the pageantry of funerals. Then we see the son getting up to tell, you know, his eulogy, and talks about how, you know, the last time he saw his dad alive, they were in the alley behind his house drinking beer, which again, another Hank thing. Now Bobby is just kind of really, you know, thinking about mortality and Hank and everything like that, and his father. I like how the son is like, you know, he loves that his dad didn't suffer. He died eating at his favorite restaurant, Robotic Chain, and Bobby's like, clear to make sure people know that the food didn't kill him. He didn't even eat anything yet. And the son keeps going on about how he wishes he told his dad how he felt. And so now Bobby's kind of in that headspace.
I really love that Willow is there. I don't know. Willow's interesting. I do love her comment of that. You know, oh, I just love the pageantry of the funeral. Not that, like, oh, I'm here to support you, Bobby. She's kind of just... And I love that they zoom in on, like, two older women in, like, really fancy hats and whatnot. It is funny. And just Bobby taking the moments and being like, but he didn't eat any of the food yet. It's like, I just want people to know that it was not the food that killed him.
Yeah, I mean, I can't blame Bobby for that, because if somebody said, oh, my dad died eating your food or at your restaurant, that does kind of put a bad vibe out there, so...
Yeah, it just... Oh, it's funny. And so, he died that moment, right? Like, as soon as he got his food, he died?
Sometime shortly after that comment was made, he died.
Well, because Bobby says he didn't eat the food yet.
Yeah. Well, because we just see him drinking beer, like, at the restaurant, and then he's like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me, or, oh, it's probably nothing, and then it cuts over to the funeral.
I wonder if Bobby catered at the funeral.
That would actually be kind of funny.
He's like, this food is okay, everyone.
Yeah, probably. So, we are at the Gribble house, and I'm assuming it's the Gribble house. It may have been Min's house, but I'm gonna lean towards the Gribble house here. Peggy comes in and mentions the spaghetti dinner has been canceled due to a lack of interest, and Min's like, oh, if I want to eat bland food with bland people, I would just eat with you. Nancy's ordering stuff online, and Peggy's like, oh, why are you ordering online? Can you just go to the drugstore? All the drugstore closed during COVID. Then they talk about checking their Ring door camera, and then they go into the Neighbors app, which is the in-universe version of Nextdoor, and everybody kind of posts, you know, It's very much like Nextdoor in terms of the fact that it's just nosy neighbors and posting vaguely racist or concerning posts about, oh, I saw this guy in the neighborhood and blah, blah, blah. Peggy is just not really having it, because she just, I don't know, I guess she just really yearns for the old days when people actually went to the store or opened the door to see who was there or just talk to people and weren't doing everything behind a screen.
I mean, I get it. I also feel like the time that they left for Saudi Arabia, like, when you think, like, because they were living in kind of a manufactured town that was supposed to look like middle America, kind of like classic-y style where people like, what are they called? You know, like when a company comes over and they basically take over a town?
Yeah, like a company town.
Yeah. Is that what it's called? It's so unoriginal. Yeah. But I'm sure that they missed out, because when you really think about how technology has grown in like the past couple years, and how much like having things on our phone or Ring doorbells becoming, not just Ring, but like cameras on your doorbell becoming a more prominent thing, and just Amazon delivery, it's just like more that really just happened in kind of a short period of time. So it makes sense that Peggy kind of missed out on the gradual change of all this happening.
That's true. That's very true.
I don't know. I also love Min just eating grapes. Just, like, chilling there, like, eating grapes and then just being, like, makes a dig at Peggy.
Indeed. There's rumors on the internet, or not rumors, but thoughts on the internet, I should say, that I've seen on Reddit where people talk about how Hank probably isn't even that great of a cook. And maybe Peggy isn't either, so maybe their food really is bland.
That could be... I don't know. I don't know. I'd be surprised if Peggy's food is bland. If anything, I think it would be over-seasoned. Like, random seasonings in there that don't need to be in there. Peggy definitely feels like the, I take creative license over my food.
Sounds about right. Well, she didn't even add nutmeg to her apple brown Betty, so who knows.
But it was delicious enough to steal. And then steal credit for.
Fair point. At the Hill House, Hank comes in, he's like talking about, oh, I bought the Sun and Shade seed and it's supposed to be better, blah, blah. A very Hank thing to say. And Hank sees that Peggy is just staring at her phone, and Hank's kind of in the same boat where he doesn't really like technology and probably doesn't want to stare at a phone or anything like that. And so he kind of figures out what Peggy's up to, and she's just upset that this neighbor app is just nothing but fear-mongering and gossip. And Peggy just doesn't like the fact that everybody's hiding behind screens and stuff like that. And Hank encouraged her to write it all down in her musings, and she's like, well, no, the Penny Saver went out of business, and she won't post online, even though Hank thinks it's a good idea, because that's kind of counterproductive to what her goal is of getting people off their screens. Peggy wants people to meet face-to-face, and so Hank says, well, I meet face-to-face in the alley with my friends. So we go to the alley, and we see that the girls, Peggy, Min, and Nancy, are just out there sipping wine instead of beer. All of a sudden, like, Nancy brings out her phone, and Peggy just smacks it out of her hand on the ground.
I love that Min is like, is this all we're doing? Is this all we're doing here? Because, like, none of them are talking or kind of any interaction. So, also, that is a kind of interesting group, right? None of them really... Because the guys in the alley all grew up together, so there's a lot of history there. But these three have just kind of, not formed recently, but they're not, they don't have the past, as I would say, like, Hank and the crew have.
It's almost as if they're friends purely because they are neighbors and they just have to be friends more so than actually liking each other.
Yeah, it's kind of like a friends of convenience. I do think there is some kind of friendship there. But, I mean, if given another choice, if there was more options, they might not all have gravitated to each other.
I think it is a friends of convenience thing. Like, they tolerate each other enough to be able to spend time with each other, but they don't like each other extensively, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's always rough when I'm like, oh, I don't know if these people get along. Because, well, I don't know. This is, because I'm trying to think of, remember when Nancy got fired? Or she got, like, demoted out of being Weatherwoman, and then Peggy went with her into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow, that's a really good friend. But then when you really think about it, they all had their own little personal motives for doing these things.
True.
So, it's tough. I know that at the end of the day, they're going to have each other's backs. But to say that they're best friends would be untrue.
So we go to Bobby's place now, and Willow is testing her creams on Bobby. And she's like, oh, I like how you test on me and not rabbits. And, you know, she's like, oh, I can't use a real rabbit. That's cruelty to animals. So, you know, like, I mean, I guess she has a point. And Bobby is looking up Cowboys tickets, and they're like $300 a piece. Willow's like, you know, you don't have to get him something that expensive. You can just talk to him. But Bobby just, I guess it's just showing how Bobby either doesn't know how to relate to Hank or whatever, and figures, oh, I don't want to just talk to him. I want to give him a gift of something he likes. And Willow's like, you know, I know people who run the Cowboy Fantasy Camp. I can figure something out. Do you think your dad would like that? And he's like, my dad wrote one chapter of a Tony, essentially a Tony Romo fan fiction where he solves mysteries with a dog who knows karate, which honestly, that's the most shocking thing of the episode. Cause I could see Hank writing a fan fiction about Tony Romo. Maybe. Tony Romo solving mysteries with a dog does not sound like a Hank Hill thing.
A dog that knows karate.
Yes.
Okay. This definitely doesn't sound like a Hank thing. If Bobby was just like, oh, my dad wrote a biography of Tony Romo, then I'd be like, ah, makes sense. But man, I don't. This could be, Hank does get wrapped up into some weird things. Like when he gets into something, he really gets into it. So he might have just one day been like messing around. He's like, wait, this is actually good.
He just doesn't strike me as a creative type.
Well, they did only get two channels over there, remember?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. Back in Peggy's car, she's driving around with Nancy, and Nancy's phone is cracked. And Peggy's like, oh, you know, you could think about it of me saving you from screen addiction. And Nancy just kind of gives her a stare, and it's like, all right, I'll pay for it. They come across a yard sale, and they see a lot of books, and Peggy's like, oh, Nancy, how would you like to actually read a book and not look at it in a screen? And she's like, if you break my iPad. At the Hill House, Peggy creates one of those like little shared library book nook things, you know, kind of looking like a birdhouse or something like that for people to just go in. And it's funny how they put a Britney Spears book in there. Willow is going to be coming over for dinner. And I like how Peggy pronounces it. I think she says a vegan instead of a vegan. It's like, I don't even know what to feed a vegan. It's like, Hank's like, can't we just put a grass in a bowl and feed it to her that way? They go to Megalo Fresh, which I guess is the Whole Foods-y spinoff of Megalo Mart, which Walmart actually has something like that in real life, which is kind of interesting. I like how Peggy's like, oh, we need to respect her culture. And Hank's like, weird's not a culture. The being vegan isn't a culture. It's just weird. And then Peggy's like, oh, Hank, take off your belt. It's real leather. He's like, well, what's going to hold my pants up? And it's like, I'll give you a rope. It's like, if you give me a rope and make me eat vegan food, I'm going to be doing something about that rope by the end of dinner. You know, insinuating that he's going to hang himself, which I don't know. That's kind of fun.
Oh, sorry. I don't know. Like, it was just, it's fun thinking of the Hills trying to figure out vegan food. It's not as complicated as people make it out to be, but it is interesting that, like, they're like, what do we do? How do we feed this person? I honestly thought she was going to bring her own food. That's kind of my mindset, like, while I was watching this. Like, oh, she's going to just show up with her own food, probably.
Maybe. I mean, I guess they're trying to be accommodating since they're coming over for dinner, so that makes sense.
I also wonder how much time has passed since we first met from last week's episode to, like, this episode. For, like, Bobby to be dating her and it's, like, serious enough to drive all the way down to Arlen.
I don't know. Like, they're never really clear on that. And that's kind of just the reality of cartoons. You never know how much time passes between episodes unless they explicitly state it. So it could have been a week, it could have been 3 weeks, could have been a month. It never really states it. So I'm guessing some time has passed because they're in a state where they're like, let me introduce you to my parents. But yeah, it's an interesting dinner. Let's jump right into what happens. So Peggy makes two lasagnas, a regular one and a vegan one. I like how Hank's like, I want the one that was assigned meat at birth, which makes me laugh, but it also just doesn't sound like something Hank would say. I could see him saying, oh, I want the meat one, but assigned meat at birth doesn't sound like something Hank would say. I think that's just pop culture stuff or trying to be relevant with today. Willow calls Hank and Peggy, but Hank's like, you can call us the Hills or Mr. and Mrs. Hill. Willow says that the food is great, and she kind of force feeds it to Hank. I don't want to say force feed, but kind of, you know, the, oh, here comes the airplane kind of thing, and puts it in his mouth and makes him eat it. And everybody is kind of shocked at that because you just don't do that to Hank. And Hank eats it and he's fine. Bobby mentions that Willow makes this vegan kind of skin balm, and, you know, his face feels as smooth as a baby. And, you know, Hank's like, oh, your face shouldn't feel like a baby. It should feel like a man. And Bobby finally shares the gift with Hank, the fantasy football camp or the cowboy fantasy camp. And Hank's like, oh, this isn't some ashtray that you made in elementary school that I need to pretend to like. This is a great gift. And it's like, I'm going to stop before I get too emotional in front of a stranger. Turns out Willow is actually going to be coming with, which kind of shocks Hank. And then they make out over the table. And so, yeah.
Okay, so this is the point where Willow lost me. I was so excited. I feel like if you listened to last week's episode, I was really hopeful for Willow and Bobby to be together. And I was like, okay, Willow's kind of eccentric, even at the beginning of this episode. But I don't know. I feel like there's a certain way you act when you meet someone's parents at dinner.
Yes.
And, like, there's, you're eccentric, and then there's kind of just, like, you don't respect any boundaries. And I felt like Willow did not respect any boundaries. When I turned on Willow was, I did think there was going to be a turn where Hank, when she feeds Hank the vegan lasagna, I thought maybe Hank was going to be like, oh, this isn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. But no, it was, to say, like you said, Hank had no reaction. I felt like he had all the reactions just inside of him. You could tell, like, he was like, what is happening right now? What is going on? And so Willow lost me, guys, at this dinner table incident. I was just like, oh, I don't know if I like Willow anymore. Especially when you invite yourself. Like, I know she got the tickets for Bobby, but, like, you should let him know ahead of time. Like, she knew that this was going to be a father-son bonding thing.
Yeah. That's a good point. It was clear what his intentions were in getting this ticket, and yet she still kind of invites herself. And if she was going to invite herself, she should have at least alerted Bobby ahead of time and not have dropped it on him as he's given the gift to Hank.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even, like, I don't know. It could have even been a thing where she just shows up there. I would have been angry if she just showed up there and been like, hey, I asked my friend for the tickets, and he, like, said, like, he wanted me to come too. So it's like, I think just the reasoning of, like, she cannot be away from Bobby is not good enough to invite yourself to this father-son bonding thing. But it kind of like, hey, my friend wanted me to come, so I'm just here too. It's kind of a fun way to bring her in. I don't know. I was just like, Willow, you're losing me, girl. Like, yeah, you're losing me at all. This is the Hills nightmare. What's happening right now?
Exactly. In the alley, Hank is talking to the guys, and Hank's like, oh, you know, maybe I'll meet Jerry Jones and tell him about the yo-yo sweep we used to do in high school, because, you know, I guess that's what Jerry Jones needs to hear. But I guess also the Cowboys not being a good team right now, maybe they could use some of Hank's help. Who knows? The guys are upset that he isn't bringing them with him. And he's like, oh, I don't, you know, it's a gift and I can't bring you. And I'm already upset that this girl is kind of inviting herself. And Dale's like, oh, it's fine, you know, just bring me a lock of one of the players' hairs. I think Trayvon Diggs. I don't follow football, so I don't know. And Bill is like, oh, I'm happy to stay behind and support her library. And I like how Hank's like, it's just a converted birdhouse. It doesn't need support. Speaking of the library, at the Book Nook, people are actually using it, and Peggy is happy. I like how Luke gets an adult book, like The Art of Seduction or something like that, and he's all blushing when he has it. They build a little bench, and Bill sits down, and he's trying to hit on a woman, but she rejects him. And I like how you also see that one book, A Dinner with Onions, which shows up in several episodes. And I like how Peggy also mentions that she is a hometown miracle for creating this thing. At the fantasy camp, we hear that, oh, Hank's going to have the same trainers and use the same MRI machines as the Cowboys. And it's like, when do I get to meet Jerry Jones? It's like, oh, you won't meet him. He doesn't do this kind of stuff. They point out his office and they're like, if you see a shadow, that means he's there. Hank makes a friend, so to speak, you know, just chatting with the guy. And the guy's like, oh, I'm here every weekend. That's my son. He's playing at Ole Miss. Hank's like, oh, that's my son. You know, he runs a restaurant and he's a chef. And they're like, okay, well, let's see. They try to balance out the team. So, you know, you're going to get some good people. And it's funny because I get one guy with a corn t-shirt, but it's like corn with a C. But it's the same kind of script. And he's like, oh, I'm not really into football. I'm just here because I won this ticket on a radio show. And there's a gay couple. They're like, oh, I thought we were going to go to a Cowboys camp. You know, like Cowboys, you know, lassos and stuff. And it's like, I told him it wasn't that. And then there's also this old man who's like, oh, my wife and I have been coming here since like 1960-something. And it's like, oh, well, where is she? It's like, oh, I brought her. And he has an urn with him. Even though they won't win, Hank's fine. This is good enough.
The elderly man with the ashes. I was just like, oh, no. What? But I also felt like, oh, it's kind of sweet. Like him and his wife had tickets for, I don't know, so long. It feels like since they were like Bobby's age that they had these tickets. So it felt like a good moment. Yeah, it was definitely an interesting team that was assembled for Hank and Bobby.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a fantasy camp, so it's all about having fun. So it's not going to be like, you know, people who are fans of the Cowboys are going to show up, and maybe people who are past their prime in football playing, or in this case, somebody who won radio tickets, so whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's fine. I like how in the next scene, they are in the locker room, and I guess, I don't know if they're co-ed locker rooms, or if Willow is just being Willow, because I don't recall, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't recall seeing any other girls at the fantasy camp other than Willow. And so Hank is taken aback because he's in the locker room and all of a sudden Willow's there. At the book nook, Bill is reading 1984. Well, kind of reading. The book is upside down, but clearly he just wants to be with Peggy. And then he notices bug bites on Peggy's arm and Peggy's like, what? And she goes to see, well, who else but Dale, the bug expert. And Dale's like, oh yeah, those are bed bug bites. And Dale mentioned that, you know, he's had to spray many people's houses for bed bugs lately, and he starts naming names, and Peggy recognizes the names and realizes, oh, these are people who borrowed books from the book nook. And her initial thought was, oh, one of those people somehow brought bed bugs to the books, and that's what caused all of this. But Dale's like, actually, you know, bed bugs hide in bindings and whatnot. So they go to the book nook, they pull out a book, and sure enough, they look at the binding and there are bed bugs there. So Peggy realizes, oh, I'm the cause of the bed bug infestation in Arlen. Peggy's like, they're going to hate reading and they're going to hate me. So Dale and Peggy make a deal where Dale will kill all the bed bugs and, you know, spray the books as well. But he will also kind of find ways to point the blame away from the books. And then his benefit is that he gets paid for spraying for bed bugs, and it's a win-win.
Okay, I don't know. Have you ever used one of these libraries? I have not. I've seen maybe two in my life. So do you write down your name and you took the book, or like you just take the
book? No, it's purely honor system. I mean, there's like four of them. I'm not even kidding. There's four of them within three blocks of me.
So I was like, I mean, Peggy does treat this more like a library than like a just kind of a, I don't know where they're called. Now I can't even remember the name of it. Book nook or whatever we've been calling it. Peggy does treat this like she's out there monitoring the light. Like she wants the social interaction. When I feel like a part of the thing of that is no social interaction.
Yeah, it's kind of more of just like a book exchange, or the ones I've seen. It's kind of like a, you know, the take a penny, leave a penny. It's take a book, leave a book. And I've dropped books off. I've never taken a book, largely just because I've never seen a book that I want, but I have dropped books off that I wasn't reading anymore in one of those little book nooks before.
Mm. Interesting. So you keep the book?
Yeah, pretty much.
Ah, okay. I just, yeah, I don't know. I do love the, like, Peggy figuring out that it is her that has contaminated all these people. But, like, so she got the books from a garage sale, and she brought them. And she was handling all those books. I feel like her and Hank would have gotten... I'm thinking too much into this, but I'm just like, huh. Interesting. I mean, this is Dale's dream, though, right?
Yep. Bedbugs aren't fun. I haven't had them yet, knock on wood. I've known people who have, and it's not fun to deal with.
That is my nightmare. That is my nightmare every time I go and I travel and I stay at a hotel is bedbugs. And, like, I've seen those news or stories where they're like, they're bedbugs. So I'm always worried about that. This will not keep me away from libraries, people, though. I will still go to a library. But, yeah, I think it's funny that Peggy's goal backfired on her slightly.
Yep. Back at the fantasy camp, the coach comes out and kind of gives them the pep talk, and Bobby's there, and he's like, well, where's Willow? Oh, she's found an injured bird out there, and so she's kind of shooing it away, and Willow shows up, and Hank's like, oh, you could do your cartwheels over there, and they kind of start playing the game and everything, and Bobby and Hank start playing, and actually Bobby isn't doing terribly. He's not, you know, he's not doing great, but he's doing pretty well. And even the coach calls them the Hill Boys, and so Hank's kind of taking pride, but all of a sudden we see Willow, and it actually turns out she is incredibly good at football. I also like there's a little sight gag where the old guy is like shaking out his pant leg, and you see like a bunch of dust coming out, presumably ashes. Gosh, I'm like, wait, what did he, is he carrying the urn in his pants? What's going on here? Turns out Willow's dad used to work for the Cowboys, and so she spent a lot of time playing in that stadium and learning the game. Jerry Jones apparently fired her dad, and Hank is not a big fan of Jerry Jones either because he fired the late, great Tom Landry. While they're eating lunch, Hank's like, oh, can I switch places with you, Bobby? I want to talk strategy with Willow. And he even lets Willow call him Hank now. And he's like, now he's going from, oh, playing for fun to playing to win. And people are now starting to think that Hank and Willow are dad and daughter. And that's kind of bothering Bobby a little bit. Which, you know, makes sense. I didn't realize that. That was kind of a surprise to me. I didn't think Willow would be a big football player just based on how her character has been depicted so far. But, yeah, that is apparently one Hank over.
I do think... I like this new, like, kind of turnaround of, like, Willow and Hank bonding. Okay, so Willow lost me, but now Willow won me back. That, like, her and Hank can get along, and she's really good at football. So I'm on Team Willow now. So I think that's a cool, interesting thing. And it does, I think at the end of the day, it doesn't take away from anything about her. It's just kind of this cool, like, as a child, I grew up with football, you know, it doesn't like change her beliefs in like being a vegan or like her eccentric qualities. It's kind of just like, oh, I also know this kind of like, this is a different skill I have that I never mentioned before.
Yeah, Hank has very linear thinking. If she also loved propane, Hank would have absolutely just loved her. Because he's just like, oh, you love football? Everything I hated about, or you're, not even your, you love football, you're great at football. So everything I hated about you is out the window.
Pretty much. Yeah. I also felt really bad for Bobby that Hank was like, let's switch seats so I can talk strategy with Willow. Even though that table was square, they were sitting across from each other.
Yeah. It's going to play into the rest of the episode that Bobby is kind of upset because he wanted to bond with Hank, and it looked like they were getting ready to, but then now Hank is kind of in his I must win phase and kind of, you know, not what Bobby wanted. Back in Ireland, Dale is going house to house, doing his exterminator thing, spraying, but then he's also kind of sowing seeds of dissent amongst people by saying, oh, you know, bed bugs, they thrive in cold climates. Oh, so-and-so was just in this cold climate, so it must have been from there. And then he goes to another house and he'll be like, oh, they come from warm climates. Oh, so-and-so was there. And so it's just like causing a lot of, it's, you know, strife there. Peggy is like, are you sure that nobody knows that I'm the one who did this? I don't want to be a pariah like you. Nancy comes down into the basement and it's like, oh, you know, this neighbor app is blowing up. And you look and there's a lot of racist and otherwise mean statements people are making about their neighbors in regards to this bed bug outbreak. You know, talking about closing the borders and stuff, which... Neighbors app, Nextdoor app. I don't know if you're ever on the Nextdoor app. I am. Like, after I bought my place, I got on the Nextdoor app just so I can keep up to date with what's in the neighborhood. And a lot of it's, you know, there's some good stuff on there, but a lot of it is just people complaining.
I don't like that app. I don't like it because it makes me paranoid. Because a lot of people post, like, I saw someone trying to open car doors the other day, or this person was in my backyard, or something like, some weird stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, that's like, it's never near me. But I'm always like, that was 5 blocks away. That's basically my that's basically my backyard. So I use it very sparingly. Like, I get on every now and then. But it gets me too paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Peggy does try to post on the app and try to encourage people to be nice. Then somebody says, meet me at the book nook and I'm going to kick your ass. So, you know, internet. Back at the fantasy camp, Bobby kind of pulled away and went to the locker room. And Willow and Hank come in and mention, oh, we made the playoffs. And, you know, Hank's trying to get Bobby to come out and play. He's like, ah, you know, I'm just going to sit this out. And then Hank goes out into the showers area to do an ice bath. And Willow realizes that Bobby and Hank aren't really bonding the way Bobby was hoping they would. And Bobby kind of, you know, becomes vulnerable. And he mentions, you know, this is kind of his 11-year-old self he's feeling like again. Where, you know, he's hearing his dad saying, oh, you better get better at math since you aren't good at sports. Which hurt doubly because I wasn't good at math either. And so Willow just says, you know, talk to Hank. And while he can talk back, I can't talk to my dad anymore. And so, sure enough, that's what he does. He goes and Hank's in the ice bath and mentions that everything is sore, even his earlobes are sore. And he's, you know, he's like, oh, I'm just getting way too old for this. And Bobby's trying to, you know, relate and say, you know, it's not necessarily age. Like, all I do is work in a restaurant all day and I get sore. And Hank's like, don't sell yourself short. You know, you work really hard, harder than most athletes, which was nice for Hank to say. Like, he's acknowledging how hard Bobby works and whatnot, even if he isn't an athlete. And so Bobby joins him in the adjoining ice bath, and they kind of bond and whatnot. They go out into the field, and they see a shadow in Jerry Jones's office, and they assume, oh, that means that Jerry Jones is there, you know, call back from earlier in the episode. They decide to go there because Hank wants to tell them all about the yo-yo sweep and stuff. And as they're going there, we kind of see that it's actually Willow who's in the office. And she puts down, like, a picture of Jerry Jones on the desk. And she gets on the desk and begins to pull down her underwear and squat. And at that point, Hank and Bobby enter the office just to see her, you know, take a dump on Jerry Jones's desk. And naturally, everybody is taken aback by that. Willow mentions that, you know, after her dad was fired, he became an alcoholic. And that kind of accelerated his death, so to speak. And so, you know, for a long time, she blamed her dad for becoming an alcoholic. But now she blames Jerry Jones. And so that was kind of her, for lack of a better term, letting it all out. Or I like how she says, oh, it feels like a huge weight was lifted off me, and Bobby's like, you mean dropped. Hank is clearly disgusted with her and is like, you can call me Mr. Hill from now on. And, you know, we need to leave. We can't come back today. I don't think we could ever come back here ever. And I like how Jerry Jones actually walks into the office and he calls somebody. He's like, yeah, it happened again.
I'm conflicted on Willow. I really liked what she said to Bobby, like, hey, you need to talk to your dad. My dad's no longer with us. So you need to have this moment. And I also love where she's like, hey, I'm sorry. It wasn't my intention to steal your dad away from you. It's just like, I just wanted to win. It's kind of like, the game got to me in a sense. Which I was like, okay, this is all cool. It's acceptable. Whatnot. And I really loved Bobby and Hank bonding in the ice bath. I love when Bobby's like, when he gets in, he's like, I want to scream, but every part of me hurts or something like that. But yeah, I just think, I don't know. How do you feel about Will? Like, is this justified? I know she's kind of just, I don't think Jerry Jones is to blame for her dad becoming an alcoholic. But I can see where she's coming from.
One, we don't even hear how he got fired, you know?
Could have been just bad as job.
Yeah, it could have been completely justified. And yeah, him becoming an alcoholic is not necessarily Jerry Jones's fault. Like, there's a lot of details that are missing here.
Yeah, and then, like, a part of me was like, Willow's just kind of looking for someone else. Because she's like, I always blame my dad, but now I blame Jerry Jones. Who I guess a lot of people blame at the end of the day if this is happening again.
True. I wonder if it's Willow having done it multiple times, or if it's just a lot of people take a dump on Jerry Jones's desk.
I think it's a lot. Because Willow was like, I finally understand, like, it's not my dad's fault, it's Jerry Jones's fault. So, I mean, at this point, do you just, like, not keep a picture of yourself in the office? Like, you know, people keep pooping on this picture. Maybe we should not keep it in my office.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, also, why is the office unlocked? Like, he's the owner of the Cowboys. You'd think that they would keep that door locked.
Or do you think Willow picked the lock? Because Willow was in there before they came in.
That's true.
Willow seems like someone who could pick a lock.
Yeah, maybe. Like, if she's breaking into places and stealing grease and whatnot, she might have a little knowledge with picking locks.
Yeah, because I know that, like, our grease thing didn't have a, like, wasn't just open to the public.
Yep.
Like that door where you pour out your grease to be picked up. So.
Yep.
She has to have some kind of, she's got some skills. Not saying she's a criminal, just saying, like, Willow's got, well, she did steal the grease. Is it stealing grease if you're just throwing it away?
I don't know. To me, I think it's a legal gray area, but I don't know for sure. Because I think it is technically illegal to go through somebody's trash. But then I also think it's a gray area in the sense of, if the trash can is out in public, then maybe it's not illegal, but I honestly don't know.
I mean, Willow is in the gray. And then I also am like, Hank is also someone who's like, I will bend the rules if I can want to get what I want. Remember when they went to the football game and they were in the suite?
Yeah.
And they snuck into the suite? I'm like, Hank's not afraid of, like, being a little rule breaker himself.
Yeah, true. Well, he only broke in after Bobby broke in.
Yeah, but this was him leading the charge. This incident. The Jerry Jones.
True, I guess.
Because there's that scene where they had to hide from the security guard.
That's true. It was his idea. That's a good point.
So, I mean, hey, we're all living in the gray, right, guys?
Yep. On the drive home, I guess Willow got her own ride home or something. Hank and Bobby are talking, and they can't go back, obviously. Bobby's mentioning that, yeah, like, all the problems he's had with Willow. Like, oh, you know, her bomb burns my skin, and she says antidote instead of anecdote, and she follows me around everywhere. And then he's also mentioned, you know, I'm still in love with Connie, so I think I need to break up with her. And Hank's like, well, in light of recent events, I suggest you do it very, very carefully. And I like how Bobby's like, oh, I appreciate you, Dad. And Hank's like, oh, let's not get carried away. The episode closes out at the book nook. Our neighbors are just arguing. And one neighbor's like, your husband slept with my wife. And she's like, I'm just as mad about this as you are. And then Min's like, hey, only one person here is benefiting from all of this. And they blame Dale because, you know, Dale's making money, being the exterminator and all that. Dale, being Dale, just immediately throws Peggy under the bus. And so Peggy owns it and says, hey, look, you know, the book brought us together. Bill, you read half a book. And Bill's like, half a page. Luke learned the art of seduction. And you read what color your parachute was. The Nook was not just about books. It was about community. But, you know, she picks a book out of the book nook. And then we immediately see, like, bed bugs crawl down on her arms. I like how she's just like, oh, we need to get rid of the bed bugs. And so there's only one way to kill them. So they immediately do a book burning. And there's an irony with the fact that they're burning Fahrenheit 451. Like, you clearly see that book being burnt. And then we see Bill throw a book in there, but then the book cover burns away, and it turns out he threw away his wedding album into the fire. And so they're just standing around, and then all of a sudden it zooms out, and it shows, like, this is a video that's been recorded and put on the Neighbors app. And the video is named Texan Morons Having a Book Burning Party. And then the first comment is, hey, hillbillies, those aren't logs, you know. And I 100% believe that's from Khan, because he says the same thing in Hillennium when they burn the toilet paper. And then there's another one that says, I bet they can't even read. And then the last comment, sterilize them. And then the episode ends with a loving, loving tribute to Johnny Hardwick. This is actually the last episode where we hear his voice as Dale.
Yeah, I went back. After I saw that, I was like, oh, let me go back to the credits. Because the tribute comes up and then the credits play. And I kind of usually just, like, pick up my phone at that point. But I was like, oh, I wonder if this is, like, if he was in this episode. And now I'm just like, oh, this is a good... Dale had a really good part in this episode. So I'm really happy that, like, he got to do this one. I think Dale's, like, a really good feature player this episode. Okay. So I really... Something about Bill burning his wedding album really got to me. I was like, oh, wow. Is Bill moving on? Are we getting, like, a new Bill?
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to throw that away at any time? Like, there's been so many moments where they've, like, had to clean Bill's house, or Bill's stuff had to be, like, thrown away, or Bill gets roommates and, like, they demolish the house. There's so many moments where that could have been thrown away in, like, a mass cleaning moment, but he never threw it away. But this was, like, he, like, this is a great moment. It's very symbolic to burn something.
Yeah, it is. It is very symbolic, and it is satisfying. Actually, so in the original season finale, in season 13, there was a scene that they were going to film that they didn't. And it was actually going to be Bill going to his freezer, and it turns out he had saved a piece of his wedding cake. And he had saved it for presumably years at this point in time, and he's getting ready to eat it, and instead he throws it away. And that was supposed to be symbolic of him finally moving on, and that was supposed to be, like, some nice closure for the end of the season.
Oh yeah, that would have been really good. Like, that whole last episode is just so good. That would have been a really, like, cherry on top if we had that moment. And I wonder if they thought back at that moment, was like, why don't we just, like, add it here? It's, like, a really good kind of, it doesn't take away from a lot of the episode, and it's, like, a real quick, it's not a blink and you miss a thing, because it does zoom in on the book, but mm-hmm. It is kind of like a 1 second thing, so it doesn't, like, really, like, it's not a whole episode. So yeah, I really liked that moment. This is my only complaint about this episode, is that I wish like, Hank and Bobby have bonded so much this season's already, that, but I do wish there was a little more kind of talk in the car ride home.
Yeah,
like, Bobby really got that, because all he really wanted was, I really wish Bobby would have opened up and been like, hey, this guy passing at the restaurant really opened my eyes, like, I don't want to be like, I wish I would have talked to my dad more kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only complaint. Everything else, I love the book. The like, Peggy's Nook thing. It's so funny. So, I love it all. I'm sad Willow didn't get to be what I wanted her to be. But,
Maybe
this is what we need for, like, her leaving, or her, Bobby breaking up with her. It might be the thing that, like, pushes Connie more towards him, if that makes sense.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And she was an interesting character. And that was kind of what I was referring to earlier when I said this was something I don't think would have happened in the original seasons. Like, somebody I mean, we've seen the word, you know, shit used a few times in the season so far. We've had the bleeped F word. But then also just having somebody take a dump on a desk.
Oh, yeah. This is definitely a streaming show. It's not going to be on Broadcast Network or Network yeah. TV? Yeah.
Yeah, there's it's not no a broadcast. Rules.
There's no rules here.
Exactly. There's no rules with Hulu, with streaming in general. It's not regulated the same way the FCC is. Broadcast has much stricter rules to it and what can be aired. I don't think the season is going to air on TV at all, to my understanding. Instead, you know, I think they might do some Blu-ray sales or something for people who don't want to buy Hulu, because it's still money for them if people buy the Blu-ray. But then also the Hulu subscription, so, you know, that's... I don't think it's ever going to be on... I mean, there's an off chance that maybe in a few years it's, like, on rotation on Comedy Central or Adult Swim or whatever. But in general, I think it's just going to be stuck to Hulu or Blu-ray releases.
I'm big into DVD or Blu-rays now. I've been thinking about, like, I don't know, a long time, it feels like a long time ago, but, like, we lost power here in Texas for, like, a couple of days. And I was like, man, if I had a generator, well, I guess if I had a generator, I could still stream. I just am like, what if the internet goes down? I want some media to watch. And I hope there is a complete King of the Hill collection, I believe, already out. But it'd be cool to see them add the next two seasons to that. Give us a
full... Oh, they absolutely will.
So I'm excited. I'd be excited to see like that. Maybe more some more behind the scenes. But yeah, this is a great episode. Willow. Willow's an interesting character. I'm sad to see her go, but not really. Sorry, not sorry, guys.
Yeah, I think she's a one-and-done character for the most part. I mean, there's an off chance that maybe in a future season she comes back, but I'm not holding my breath on that one.
No, what is this, episode 9?
I think this is episode 7.
7? Oh, wow. Oh, wait, 7, yeah. And there's only 10 episodes this season.
Yeah, so we have 3 more.
To bring Willow back would just be, like, a waste of time.
Yeah, so I think, you know, in a future season we might get her, but we'll see. That's all I have for this episode. What about you?
Yeah, just another, like, I'm a broken record, guys, but, you know, another episode I really liked. Definitely not my favorite so far, but this one's a good one, too. It's like a no skip. This season's except for episode 1, the season has been no skips.
Agree. Like, I've said it before, I'll say it again. That first episode was probably the worst of season 14, and I understand why they had to do it the way they did it. They just wanted to get all the exposition out of the way. Hey, what has happened over the past 8 years, and that kind of thing, and kind of set the stage for the rest of the season. But it didn't feel proper for King of the Hill, if that makes sense. But they've moved forward, and that's great. And now all the following episodes feel like King of the Hill episodes. And while I wouldn't say they feel like the early seasons, which I think were largely the best seasons, they don't feel as bad as the later seasons. Like, one of my complaints towards the later seasons is that a lot of them... there are a lot of miss episodes on the later seasons. Not all of them were great. Like, even the worst King of the Hill episode is still better than a lot of other TV shows, but still, for King of the Hill, it wasn't great.
Yeah, I do think more towards the end, there were some episodes where I'm just like, this is okay. But this season has definitely... it's back on track. Yeah, like I said, everything's rewatchable. I feel like I rewatched all these episodes over and over again. So I'm loving it. I can't wait to like finish this off. I'm really excited to see... well, because we know that this isn't the end of the series. We're getting another season. Because they signed up for 2, right?
I know one for sure. I think 2.
Oh, because I'm wondering if we're going to end on something final. Or is it going to end kind of like, hey, we're coming back?
Yeah, we'll see. Well, that's all I've got. So join us next time as we cover more King of the Hill. Until then, I'm Jason.
And I'm Jimmy.
Bye.
Bye.